You're going to want two maps for our program this morning. One of Japan and one of your own neighborhood. Or just to go to thetakeaway.org, where we have a map of all of the nuclear power plants in the United States. But look at that Japan map for a moment. The Fukushima Daiichi and Daini complexes, nuclear complexes there, just north of Tokyo. Can you guess the population of the metro area of Tokyo? More than 30 million people live in that area, which is within a breeze of the nuclear facility, which is struggling to maintain control over four reactors where there have been explosions since the earthquake and tsunami began this disaster. And consider the design of a nuclear power plant. The design really sort of says it all, right? You've got a reactor that creates a reaction by splitting uranium to produce steam.
Right.
To turn a turbine.
Right.
To run a generator. To produce electric power.
Right, right, right.
But the reaction is so unstable and potentially full of potential harm that it's wrapped in a cooling jacket.
The chain reaction that that releases that energy, yeah.
It's also a pin cushion of control rods which absorb neutrons and prevent the fission from occurring.
Inside a suppression pool that contains all the cesium and iodine. And
in fact, there are two, three, or four separate cooling systems because they need that level of redundancy. It's all contained in a steel containment, okay?
Which is inside concrete.
A concrete containment.
Right.
Surrounded by a secure facility with all sorts of redundancy and monitoring systems to make sure that nothing goes wrong.
Correct.
All of that seems to have failed at Fukushima Daiichi this morning. And we've got not only explosions at four nuclear power plants, two additional ones within the last 12 hours, but we also have reports of fires in storage pools for spent fuel rods. And a lot of the nuclear facilities around the world, not only are they power plants, but they are also
storage
depots for nuclear waste. Michael Corradini joins us. He's from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's a professor of engineering physics and an expert on nuclear power and nuclear safety. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, first of all, is there anything I said there that is wildly wrong and out of whack? And how am I to maintain a rational level of vigilance if I live near a nuclear power plant and there are more than 100 of them in the United States here in this part of the world?
Well, there's a number of things that you said that are a description of what's how a plant is built and operated, but I don't see why anybody would be concerned in the United States with the plants. They're well designed and well operated, so I wouldn't find any concern at all.
Wasn't that the case for the Japanese plants until Friday?
Yes, and they then experienced the largest earthquake in their recorded history and an associated tsunami. So I would say the external events tended to overwhelm the situation.
So in reporting that I've been looking at in the last couple of days, and again, we're not trying to engage a hysterical kind of wildfire of worry about the nuclear energy. I mean, some of the same risks of cooling failures do exist at plant designs in the United States as exist in Japan, even given the fact that we're talking about a 9 earthquake and a tsunami, a huge disaster here.
Yes, there's possibilities of accidents here in the plants in the United States, but I'm not sure what you're asking. I apologize. But if you're saying if this would happen here, would we have a problem?
Well, I'm just saying that if any of the plants lost their ability to cool that reactor, we'd be in the same sort of situation as Japan. For whatever reason, they lost that ability to cool the reactor. And in Three Mile Island, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, in Three Mile Island, what occurred was is that we by a number of failures and operator actions, mechanical failures and operator actions, the core remained uncooled for a number of hours, and there was a partial meltdown. That's correct.
Well, Michael Riesch,
but there was, if I may just finish,
go ahead.
There was very little radiation released to the public.
Well, reassure me then, if you're saying that we don't really have any cause for concern, but that the only thing that kind of threw things out of whack in Japan was an extraordinary natural event, reassure me then. In the face of, any number of extraordinary natural events, I mean, there's a nuclear power plant 25 miles from New Orleans where I'm sure people weren't expecting Katrina either. So tell me what...
Take that as an example, since you brought that up.
Great.
I was going to bring that up as an example. Katrina was a hurricane force of magnitude 5, if I understand the ratings, and the 6 or 8 power plants in the vicinity of New Orleans shut down safely and maintained cooling, and then restarted up to provide electricity to the region. So that's a very good example in the United States that there was not a problem.
And
so
what was the what was
back, to get back to your original point? That's why I would not have a problem of concern with these plants in the United States.
Right. But getting back then, what did they do in New Orleans? Is it a matter of early shutdown of the plants to put them in a controlled sort of cool situation that made all the difference in Katrina, the early warning, that sort of thing?
No. The hurricane hit and the plants shut down, but they were having to provide power to the region for a good part of the time coming in to the hurricane. I think the one thing you did bring up, which I think is a very good point, is I do not think the Japanese expected that enormous of a tsunami following the earthquake. As far as I can tell from reading the reports, and again, we're all in the same position of simply reading the reports that we hear and read on the news or by releases by the utility or the Nuclear Safety Agency, is that the expectation of a tsunami as large as they had is what I think was underappreciated by their emergency planning.
So then is there a rational argument for, as the Germans have made the decision to decommission some of the older reactors, at least two of the reactors in Japan are 70s-era technology?
Well, I think Unit 1 was going to be decommissioned, actually. It was going to be on its way to being shut down this spring.
Well, on its way. You know, again, there's a kind of a contentious sort of dialogue here, which worries me. And I think it makes people nervous when they're talking to experts and hearing a lot of, hey, there's no problem. But then we're seeing things on fire in Japan.
Well, I'm not trying to be contentious. I'm simply answering your question. The first unit was scheduled to shut down this year after the spring, as I understand it. And that was because it was 40 years old. But I don't think its age had anything to do with its ability to...
So its age had nothing to do with its ability to withstand that tsunami, is what you're saying?
No, not at all.
All right.
No.
Michael
Corradini,
University of Wisconsin-Madison, professor of engineering physics. He's an expert on nuclear power and nuclear safety. Reassuring words there from Professor Corradini.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.